Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
Hi folks, I'm Jelaine Fenner and welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today program that is about people with a purpose. And my co-host is
Tom Bajur.
And Tom, this is an exciting interview for me because I love this program we air on Strong Tower Radio.
You know, Jelaine, even though we're recording this at the Michigan Conference Camp meeting in June, it feels like Reformation Month all over.
Yes, well, we have with us Adam, Pastor Adam Ramden, and we're glad you're here.
Thank you for having me.
And the more you listen to him, you'll hear a little accent, and we'll probably hear a little bit more about where he's from and the programs that he has done that we air. And Tom, why don't we have a word of prayer before we get started?
Absolutely. Let's bow our heads. Our great Heavenly Father, it's such a blessing. We are standing on the shoulders of the Reformers and the Patriarchs throughout all times, and of course, Jesus Christ. And dear Lord, be with us as we explore our history, our lineage. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Well, Adam, this is our program we call People with a Purpose. So who is Adam Ramden?
Adam Ramden, I am from England. As you mentioned, the accent, though it's not the strongest English accent, as a few people do let me know. I lived in America for about 10 years on and off. I studied here, then I worked here. But I live in England. I work as a pastor over there. I've been back there now for the past 14 years and I live in Nottingham, England, which is where Robin Hood is allegedly from. So that's where I live. That's where I work. My wife is American, so I do get to travel here fairly frequently to visit family or to attend events like this camp meeting or other events like that. So I am, as I mentioned, a pastor. So I've been pastoring for about 20 years now and thoroughly enjoy that.
Tell me, this program is People with a Purpose. Mm-hmm. What is your passion?
My passion in life, I worked for about 10 years with young people.
Okay.
And I was really passionate about helping them understand who they are as people and where they come from. And by helping people know where they come from, you give them a sense of purpose in life. The three big questions in life is, where do I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going? And a lot of people don't know why they're here because they don't know where they come from. So one of my recent passions in life has been a ministry that I'm working with called Lineage Journey, which is aiming to help people find their purpose by connecting it with their past and guiding them to their present. I think the past, the present, and the future are all connected. The past in our lives, the present in our lives, and then our future purpose. They're all connected together. So I'm really passionate about helping people find their purpose, helping people find where they come from, which helps them find their identity. When you know where you come from, it gives you a sense of, this is who I am. This is my heritage. This is my legacy that's been passed down to me. And it gives people a sense of who they are in the present.
Now, you're part of Lineage Journey, the Reformation. Season 1 is a core part of the Reformation Month on Strong Tower Radio. I have a feeling that this particular program, even though we're recording it for one period of time, I think will be a classic that will be part of the Reformation Month. But tell our listeners, let's drill down a little bit deeper. Lineage Journey, tell our listeners what Lineage Journey, if they're tuning in for the first time.
Sure. Lineage is a small media ministry that aims to help people connect the past, the present, and the future. It aims to help people know who they are. We produce resources mainly in the form of videos, short videos that can be played that go over short episodes of history that bring to life who we are. So it started about 5 years ago now.
And what year is that?
The idea started in 2016. We started releasing the videos in 2017. So a friend of mine who's a videographer came to me and he said, I'd like to make some videos on the Reformation. He was reading a book at the time called The Great Controversy.
And that is available from Strong Tower Radio. Right. We give that. We believe it's so important.
It's a fascinating book.
Yes.
Listeners, all you have to do is give Strong Tower Radio a call at 877-278-5512 and ask for the book, The Great Controversy. And I'll tell you, that book changed my life. And we will be glad to mail it to you for free. So that's interesting. I did not know that's how this, your lineage journey got started.
Yeah.
Because of somebody reading that book.
Yeah.
It's a fabulous book.
Yeah, so he's reading the book. I'm not sure if it was for the first time, if he was rereading. But anyway, he's reading the book. And as a videographer, he went to YouTube.
Right.
And typed in the titles of some of the chapters to see if he could find some videos that matched what he was reading.
So he wanted to see it.
To bring it to life, or to visualize, you know, Wittenberg Castle, or where Martin Luther was held, for example. And we went on YouTube, at least with his searching, he couldn't find anything much that was visually appealing. Or
so what. You're saying 500 years ago they didn't have a video on?
They didn't, and it seems like, I mean, maybe the videos are out there. He couldn't find them in his searching. So he came to me and said, hey, do you want to make some videos? Just a few. The original idea was just to make 4 or 5 videos.
How long?
I don't think he ever discussed that with
me. You didn't know what you were getting into, huh?
Not really. He said, want to make some videos? I said, sure, make some videos.
You're an agreeable guy. You go along with it, right?
So I said, yeah. And originally, because we had just been to the British Museum in London. We had done a tour around there, and actually in the British Museum, you're allowed to use a tripod. Uh-huh. Like you can go in there with a tripod and have a fixed camera and record something properly. He said, we can come to the British Museum and record next to some of the artifacts and just talk about, you know, Cyrus Cylinder or something like that.
So it's going to be a one site?
One site, maybe. He said it. He's from London. He said a few of the sites in London as well, John Wesley's house and so on. Then I said, oh, well, if we're at it, we may as well go to Oxford or Cambridge or
Lutterworth. It's already starting to grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I said, let's go to Scotland too, because Scotland's beautiful. Let's go up there. It's only a 4 or 5 hour drive. And then we're like, well, let's go to the Waldensian Valleys as well, and let's go to Germany. Because, you know, it's not that far from England. You can get on a plane, a budget airline like Spirit or something like that, and you can fly there for $50 or something. So we thought, well, we can travel to a few of those places. But at the time, we still hadn't really... So the idea is growing, and this is in 2016, and then it so happened that 2017 was the 500th year of the Reformation. I'm sure you probably did a big thing of it there. And so it was the 500th year of the Reformation, so it kind of coincided. We started releasing the videos in early 2017, and we released them on a weekly basis. So every Wednesday or Friday it was, we released one video.
How long were those videos?
The videos were roughly 5 minutes in length.
And so how did people find these videos?
We just put them, initially we put them on Facebook and then YouTube, and that was, they just kind of went.
Yeah.
We put the first one on Facebook, and honestly I thought, oh, we'll probably maybe get 500 views. That's what I was thinking.
Right.
Or something like that.
That's good number. We like 500 views.
But that first one exploded, and it got like 500 shares.
What is the share?
It's when someone...
Oh, that's right.
They share the video on their wall, so it had about 500 shares. I think it was like 50,000 views or something.
Amen.
And I was just like, whoa. It was like, none of us knew it would do that, but it
because
just kind
you
of...
were paying for this yourselves anyways to do it, right?
We were getting some sponsorship from the church there in England, but it wasn't... They weren't paying for everything.
It wasn't budget.
No. Yeah, it's going to cost money to do everything.
Yeah, it costs a lot of money. I mean, basically, when we started, the guy who came to me and said, I'd like to do this project... And I was very open with them. I says, listen, I've got no budget to pay you. I said, I can pay for our travel or our food. That's it. I can't pay you any money. And his words back were, he said, that's okay. I don't need money. I'm just passionate about doing this project.
Amen.
Amen. That's
and
the best.
So
that's
how we
need.
Started. Yeah. And so we started back then in 2017. And originally the idea was then just for that year to release the videos in the year of the Reformation. And that was a start, at least. But then it's...
But you saw, I mean, 50,000 views all of a sudden.
Yeah, that just really opened our eyes. And then people were messaging us from different countries and started as like, can we translate this or can we put subtitles on and so on. And actually, the person who started it, the videographer, his idea, after that first video released, he got a phone call from a media ministry who said, hey, do you want a job?
Oh, really?
Really?
He was hired within a month.
Wow.
You know, and then he was able to then do what he was doing for lineage, but sharing the project with them, so then he got paid.
Praise the Lord. So the Lord provides.
Yeah. He did. Really did. And just kind of opened that up. But he was willing to just say, I'm just going to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that willingness to just do it, he ends up getting it.
So you have this overwhelming response. It was beyond anything you ever expected. And did somebody say, what are you doing next?
Yeah, people started to say, well, you know, what's the next project? And even that year of 2017, we hadn't really fully planned the whole year out.
And that's the year of the Reformation. The Reformation.
So we still added episodes as the year went along. Oh, we still got time to slip this one in. But we got 48 episodes done that year that covered the history from starting with Constantine, who was the first professed Christian Roman emperor, but really he brought a lot of practices into Christianity right. that don't have Christian origin.
Paganism.
A lot of pagan practices came in, and he really started the divide of Christianity, you could argue, between like true Bible-based Christianity and then people that were Christian with traditions that didn't have biblical value. And you still see that in
today
variety of churches today. So we started with Constantine, then we went to the Celtic Church, was next.
That was a great episode. It actually opened up my mind to things that I didn't even exist. I thought of all the Reformation, I think Germany, France, and England.
But yeah, I mean, that was good, easy for us because it was
right
easy to get to. But it's fascinating history as well. And in the book Great Controversy, it does allude, there are a few paragraphs on the
Sabbath
Celtic Church.
Keepers.
They were fascinating. They probably kept the Sabbath in some parts of the Celtic area, which is Wales, Scotland, and Ireland, until as late as the 1200s.
Wow.
As late as the 1200s. So we covered the Celtics, then we went to the Waldensians in northern Italy, and then we progressed through the traditional Reformation with John Wycliffe and Huss and
So was
Luther.
That the original design, these ones you've described so far? Or how far, again, let me know, how far with your small vision when you first started, how far were you going to go?
I think we were just going to cover, I mean, originally it was just 5 videos and 5 became 20 and 20 became 48. And we said, okay, let's make a series for the whole year and just do 1 week a year. And then it was a matter of filling in enough stories to fill the year and thinking about places we could easily get to. And so we started doing that at the end of 2016, started filming it. And then we were filming throughout 2017 as we were releasing the videos. And it was exciting. It was
adrenaline. Huh?
Was Lineage Journey the name you first thought you were going to call this?
That's a good question. No, we didn't have a name at the beginning, and so had a group of people around the table, like a bunch of young people, and we're just doing a brainstorm session, like, what should we call this? And I've actually got a document on my computer of all the names that people came up with, and I've got the names that were voted on as the highest ranking, and I always sometimes look back at that with the rest of the team and think, we're glad we didn't pick that name, or that name, or that name. Because some of the names we had picked were very much Reformation-focused. Like, one of the names was Here I Stand, and that would have kind of been cool. Like, I could have put it into every script, like, Here I Stand in Germany, or Here, you know, whatever.
Right.
That was one name that we were thinking of, and there was another name called the 95 Turning Points, or whatever. But those names are very linked to the Reformation.
Very narrow.
Very narrow. They would have boxed us in.
Yeah.
And then I was talking to another friend of mine, and he suggested Lineage. Just Lineage as a name, because we're talking about your heritage, you're talking about your family lines, where you come from. So we said Lineage. And I took it to the team that I had at the time, and I said, what do you think about this name, Lineage? And you know when you present an idea around a table and everyone's just like...
Dead?
Did they know what it meant at first?
I think so. They just didn't think it was catchy.
You didn't get a second on their motion, huh?
No, it just flopped. They were just like...
Died.
And they went on and talked about these other names. But this is where sometimes it's good to have ultimate say.
Okay.
Committees don't always come up with the best decisions. And I thought about all the names, and there was something about the Lineage that appealed. I thought it's one word, it's catchy, it can go certain ways. And so it ended up going with Lineage, but we couldn't find a social media handle with Lineage because Lineage is gone. Lineage.com, on Instagram is gone. Lineage on Facebook is gone. Yeah. So it had to be Lineage something else in order for us to have the branding across all the platforms. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we thought about Lineage history, But then we thought, don't quite like that as much. It sounds a bit old.
Yeah.
And a bit dry or something. So then we thought lineage journey, because it's a journey through your lineage. And so when we searched on all the Facebook, and we searched on YouTube, and we searched on Instagram and the website, it was free on all areas. So we thought, okay, let's get that.
I think it's great. I mean, you're right, lineage, but then the journey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just, and it, I mean, like you started with the Reformation, but now you've expanded.
Follow
way.
The journey of whoever, of your people.
Second season was?
So the second season was, we went from Constantine through the Reformation, then we ended around about the year 1800 with John Wesley, Charles Wesley, George Whitefield, and then the birth of missions, because that's when you have the American Bible Society, the British Bible Society, and that's really when you have the birth of modern missions.
And that's exciting.
So that was the end of season one. And then season two, we then kind of shifted from Europe to the United States, and we picked up with the Great Awakening movement of the early 1800s, and then we moved into the early Advent movement with Millerite history, and then the birth of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
And some of it was taped right here in Michigan.
Some of it, yeah, was right here in Michigan. We did Michigan in the month of November, so it probably wasn't the wisest thing. But we started off on the East Coast in Virginia, then we went up to Maine, New England, and then we worked across New York State to Michigan and down to Tennessee for the bulk of our filming. We also did California as well.
So tell us, what was the response to your second season?
Second season was overwhelmingly good response as well. It was more niche, the second season,
right?
Because it's not as broad history, but it was still very well received by people, that stories from history that are not so far away as well, because second season was covering history that's, what would you say, 100 years old or 150 years old. So it's a lot closer to people, and people have either more memories of that or more connections to that history. So in that sense, it was familiar and people enjoyed that.
Just before the break, did you stop at season two?
We didn't. We went on to season three, and there'll probably be a season four and five as well.
So your fans are demanding.
They were. Either they're demanding or our creative juices keep going. So okay. One of the two.
Well, that, when you think about lineage, there's lots of different
There's so
things.
Many stories, yeah.
Yes, you know.
Even the Reformation, which we covered in 48 episodes, we could go back and do another 48.
Really?
You know, because there's so many other stories, maybe of lesser known people that haven't been covered yet, that still could be covered.
And the stories are just as compelling, even though they may be notable.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
So we have three series right now.
So far we have three, yeah.
And what is the third series then? Because you went from the Reformation now to the United States.
The third series then went all the way back in time, which if lineage had been planned by a committee sitting around a table, they probably would have done season three first.
You know, I don't.
But maybe not. Maybe not.
Think about that. Hollywood sometimes.
They don't.
They come out with a movie and then they have sequels. And then one of the sequels goes way back.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So season three, after we'd done the Reformation and kind of Adventism history, we then went back and did biblical history. So we started off with creation. That was the first episode.
Well,
we,
good place to
so
start.
We went through the patriarchs of Moses and Joseph and Jacob, all the way through early Old Testament, later Old Testament. Then we have a series on Jesus. It's called Manger to Messiah. And then we still have one that hasn't come out yet called Pentecost to Patmos, which is going to cover the time period of the New Testament after the Gospels up until John, last one dies.
We haven't aired season three at all, have we?
I just learned about it.
Because I was just going to say, I don't think I've heard any of those.
It needs to be on Strong Tower Radio.
Well,
it
will be.
It's as good as done.
All right, folks, we need to take a quick break, but stay tuned. We'll be right back more with Adam Ramden. Hi, folks. Jelaine Fenner here. We are definitely living in uncertain times, and for some of us, it's scary. Signs of the times are everywhere. Jesus is coming back soon. Read Revelation chapter 22. Jesus says, "Surely I am coming quickly." We at Strong Tower Radio have a free book for you called The Great Controversy. Go to the back of the book and read chapters 35 to 42. It'll help you understand the times we're living in and what's ahead. This book even has 800 historical quotes and 1,200 Bible quotes. I love this book. Call Strong Tower Radio today, 231-468-2418. 2087 and ask for the Great Controversy while supplies last. And if we don't answer, please leave a message asking for the Great Controversy with your name, address, and phone number. That's 231-468-2087 on Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed. Hi, folks. I'm Jelaine Fenner with Strong Tower Radio with my co-host,
Tom Majure.
And we are recording here a very special person. His name is Pastor Adam Ramden. And this program is a people with a purpose, because he definitely has a purpose, doesn't he, Tom?
Absolutely. And he the amazing thing is he brings a lot of young adults, creative people. I think he's incorporated them, co-opted them, as my sister says. Jelaine, as I really look forward to seeing this, we've had this part of our Reformation series in October. Our Reformation series continues to grow every single season. And this season, we already know we have two new programs for children of the Reformation, but it's even growing. We're talking with Adam. We're finding new resources even as we speak. Right now, it consists of Reformation Month in October. Starting with the 1st of October is Lineage Journey. We also have Light Unshackled. That's the audio track of a wonderful version. And, of course, 500. And I reminded John Bradshaw when we recorded him just recently that 500 debuted on Strong Tower Radio.
Okay.
And the reason was is that they were going to do it on the last week of October, and we couldn't wait. So I called John and I said, John,
give it to us.
We're doing all my yes, give it to us. And he gave it to us. So many things premiere here on Strong Tower Radio.
Well, you know, and as you're talking, because Adam, the Reformation is what started Lineage Journey.
That's correct.
But now you've expanded beyond. We've been talking about what more you've been doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we went on from the Reformation into like the 1800s and the 1900s. And I guess you'd say how Christianity expanded beyond the borders of modern Christianity, beyond the borders of Europe, and went to America and then and other places. And then we went back in time and did Bible history. And we've called that series, well, it's broken up into five parts, actually, that series.
So it's almost bigger than the Reformation.
It is. If you count the number of episodes in total, I think it's 75 or 78 or somewhere
around. So right. What's that series called?
That series has lots of names.
Okay.
So if you could say 3A is called Creation to Kings, so it was early Old Testament. Then the next one was called From Kings to Captivity, I guess Captivity of Israel. We tried to have an alliteration going on.
Okay.
And then the third one was called From Manger to Messiah.
Okay.
And the fourth one was called Pentecost to Patmos. New Testament history from the day of Pentecost until John was on Patmos. And then we also did the seven churches of Revelation. So we did kind of a short summary of each one of those seven church message.
So you've literally covered the whole Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Briefly, you know, it's not in depth in all areas, but we've done the major stories. And I think that was the idea, to share the major stories and themes of Scripture. It's not an archaeological series because I'm not an archaeologist. When we were in sites that were authentic and that things happened there, then obviously we would film there and we would talk about it. But there were some episodes where we didn't really know where it happened, and we're just telling the story in beautiful locations.
So, I mean, we're radio, so you're doing video.
Mm-hmm.
Which even helps when you're hearing the story, you're visually seeing everything. Where can people go if they want to actually view these?
Okay, good question. The best place is our website, which is lineagejourney.com. So our branding across all platforms, our website, our Facebook, our YouTube, our Instagram, that's it really, our Twitter, is Lineage Journey. Our website is lineagejourney.com. So all the videos are on the website there. You can just go to Lineage Journey on YouTube as well if you just want to watch the video straight. Okay. But on the website, there's a lot more information. So each video is accompanied by an article. The articles have source materials and references. So if you're wanting to have a little bit more of an educational experience, the website is a great place to go. And there's articles on subjects that we haven't made videos on there. So especially for kids that are learning in school, or just yourself, if you want to learn and increase your knowledge of aspects of history, is a great place to go.
And people can also purchase?
They can if they want. We have DVDs on sale on the website if they would like to. But I always tell people it's all free online, yeah. but if you want to buy, you can buy. So the DVDs are available because some people do prefer a hard physical copy.
And well, they can watch it as many times as they want.
They can watch it over and over, or take the DVD with them, or yeah. if they don't have internet or something like that. Yes. So the DVDs are available to purchase through the website as well. Yeah.
Okay. So I just occurred to me as you started from creation. So how did you go on site to the Garden of Eden?
We should have done that in Hawaii. We should have gone to Hawaii for that one, but we couldn't. So that so, one, that one,
because oh, where traditionally that, where yeah. we hear no.
I mean, I think the traditional site they may say somewhere in the modern day country of Iraq or Iraq. Mm-hmm. But obviously we can't go there, and it's not, you know, it's not very picturesque now anyway. So
that's right. That's right. It's a desert.
Yeah.
I had a relative tell me, she's traveled around the world, and she said the closest thing to heaven on earth is Hawaii, based on the Bible and anything that Ellen White had written.
Mm, it's a beautiful place. And we ended up later on going to film there for another reason. But anyway, but we didn't. We just filmed, I forget where we filmed it, but we have great backing visuals on that one. But the rest of that one we filmed in Egypt, and then we went to Jordan, then we went to Israel, and then we traveled in some of the countries in the Mediterranean, like Greece and Malta and Italy as well.
You know, I'm just sitting here thinking, cause, well, I love history, but for people, if they don't understand, you know, the Bible that much and the area to have this and be able to view it, and you tell the story and then mm-hmm. they can see the pictures, the Bible comes to life.
I think it does. And I think I was just talking with someone this morning, actually, and she said when she was in school, she hated history because it was boring. And there's a lot of people that resonate with that because our history classes in school often were boring. We would learn dates and we would learn locations and we would learn events and people. But not too often did we learn the moral lessons of history or the lessons we can learn from that episode and how we can avoid that today. And so with Lineage, we do share history, but we try to share it not in a boring way, but in a way that we can learn the lessons and make personal applications from history as well. I think that's a key part. A lot of people tell us about the Lineage videos, and this actually was an afterthought at the time, was each Lineage video ends with about a 30 or 45 second application, summary, and appeal at the end. Just trying to take that lesson from that period of history and how do we apply that today? And a lot of people at the time, I never actually planned when we started doing it to do that. It was just a last minute. The cameraman looked over to me when we were filming the first one. I was like, oh, he said you should make a little appeal at the end or make an application. I was like, oh, okay. So we did. But a lot of people come to me now and say that their favorite part of the episodes they're watching is always the last part. And I think that shows us that when history is made applicable and the lesson is relevant to today is when it comes alive.
Amen.
And it definitely comes alive. I'm looking forward to this series. I'd like you to kind of go through from the creation one and tell me some of the best stories, some of the most memorable parts of that first DVD.
So three Creations of Kings, we started in creation and then Noah's Ark, covered that.
How did you illustrate that? How did you bring those to life?
The videographer did an excellent job. He had great footage of just beautiful places in the world today. Like, he had really nice footage of nature and the sea, whales breaching. He had footage of waterfalls and mountains and just stunning scenery footage that he was able to get. Some of that we'd filmed ourselves, and some of it he got online. My favorite episode in season 3A, Creation to Kings, was probably the one on Aaron.
Okay.
And his death on Mount Hor.
Okay. Not Moses.
Not Moses. Moses was, that was nice. Moses died on Mount Nebo. Mm-hmm. And so we went to film there. And that is a picturesque location, mm-hmm. but it's a very common location. You drive to the top and there's a church plonked on the top. But you do look over, you look down onto the Jordan Valley, you look down onto the Dead Sea, and you look across to the hills or the mountains. And in the distance at night, you can see the lights of Jerusalem in the distance. So it's, you can imagine Moses standing up there and literally surveying the promised land.
Correct.
But Aaron, I like that because it was a bit more exclusive in the sense that no one goes there. It's in the city of, I'm sure you've heard of Petra in Jordan.
Yeah.
And loads of people go to Petra and they go to that, I forget what it's called, that little tunnel thing.
I've been there.
And they go to the, I think it's called the exchange where they take the pictures in front.
Right.
And most tourists do that. They might ride a camel and then they go home.
Yeah.
But Mount Hor.
Sounds like what I call a cruise. You know, they take those side trips and you get to 15, 20 minutes of history. And
you do. And that's just the nature of a lot of tours that you see the highlights. But if you go into Petra and you walk further down the way, then from there, it's about a 5 or 6 mile hike down through the valleys.
You go that I didn't do.
That's like you go past the caves where the people live in
the beating sun.
Good that long. And then you just wind around, and as you go around the corner after about 2 miles, you then see there in the distance, way up there, Mount Hor. Whether it's exact, I mean, there's so many peaks there. Whether it's that exact one or the one next to it, you know, I don't think we really know. But either way, there's a church plonked on top of there now. The Muslims have put it there because they look up to Aaron as well. But exactly where it was, maybe we're not exactly sure. But when you get there at the top, it's fascinating because you can see how the story of the Bible is then lived out. Because we're told the Israelites came to the borders of Canaan and they couldn't pass through and they had to walk around.
Right.
And you can stand in there, you can literally see it's all flat there. It's all flat there. And they could have gone straight into Israel there. But then you've got this huge strip of mountains that extends for about a 4-hour drive.
Okay.
Really rugged scenery. And then they have to walk around where you see the plane going around, and they have to walk around and go up to where the Jordan River is and where Mount Nebo is. And you can just kind of see, and you can imagine Moses and Aaron standing up there, the whole camp of Israel, as far as the eye could see, camped there on the plain, because it's mountain, 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 drops down, and then it's just desert. And I don't know, that was special. I like that place.
That's awesome.
I don't know why I like the place where someone died, but hey.
What was the lessons in that first season? What were some of the peak lessons learned from that first 3A?
We covered some of the stories of David. David's a key. There's a lot of lessons from David. I like that. I mean, the lesson I appreciated from the story of Aaron was he was one of the greatest men who ever lived.
Really? Like,
he's in the top 10, top 15. I know he's
tainted in my mind.
He does, but
aren't they all tainted in a little bit, except for Daniel and
Joseph?
He
was the first high priest,
yeah,
you know?
That's true.
So even though he did do some bad things before that, God honored him. He was the first high priest and he led Israel and all these things. But he had a very, what's the word? Humble funeral. And you look at how people die and whatever today, and they have these huge ostentatious funerals. And yet one of the greatest men just has his little funeral with his brother and someone else there.
Well, Moses was even smaller.
Moses was even smaller. David, though, I loved filming in Engedi. I don't know if you've ever been to Israel. That's fascinating, I think, because that's an authentic site. There's not many authentic sites sometimes. But that's really, really good. The other stories in season one we covered. The stories of Joseph. I really like the story of Joseph and his premiership of or rulership of Egypt. And you can, one of the favorite places we visited in Egypt, I mentioned it in some of my messages here, was a place just south of Cairo called the Fayum Basin. We've always heard about Joseph as the leader, but he left a legacy that still feeds the country, literally feeds the country today. There's like a whole agricultural area that's about 180,000 acres. Do you use acres in America?
Yes, we do.
180,000 acres of land, which is a huge area. You can see it on Google Maps when you zoom in on the country on the earth view. It's green because there's a canal that goes from the River Nile to this area, and they show you all the watering system. They've got these big wheels that carry the water up and take it up different levels, and it goes out, and it's a full agricultural area today. And you think Joseph was faithful to God. He was faithful to his, you know, to the law of God. He lived a holy life. God honored him, and he was prime minister of the whole country and leaves a legacy that still feeds the country bread.
How many people leave a legacy like that?
Yeah, 3,000-4,000 years.
Well, how many people know that? That's one thing that you're letting us know.
And we went. Of all the places. I mean, it was like, oh, the pyramids. Go to the pyramids, and the pyramids were nice, but I really wanted to go there. And no one goes there. We had to go through like 5 security checkpoints just to get there. Uh-huh. And it was, I don't know why.
You did that.
Yes, we are.
I don't know why we had to go through so many security. There was nothing there, just farmland. But anyway, when we got there, it was.
But that's a great story. That's why you had to go there to film.
Yeah. So it was.
I mean, I didn't know that. So that's why I'm glad that you. Yeah.
Well, you know what? We need to go to B and C. So tell us about B and C.
So B was Kings to Captivity. So that's the breakup of the Kingdom of Israel.
I know what I forgot. You said that something special, you know, COVID-19, COVID-20, whatever you want to call it, there's a story behind that.
Oh, I did mention, so when we filmed these, season 3, we filmed it in December 2019. Now, at that time, none of us knew that the world was going to shut down as we know it. And so we filmed 3.5 weeks of heavy filming. We filmed probably in that 3.5 weeks, I don't know, 40, 50 episodes.
You just had to do it because you're not coming back too often.
Yeah, and we're not coming back, but we wanted to pack as much in as we could because it's a lot of countries and whatever. So we packed it all in. No idea the pandemic's coming, but it gave us then content to then release throughout 2020, 2021. And you know, that was a blessing for us and a blessing to those who
kept the ministry going.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, now to B, 3B.
So that was, 3B is in Tugunat Bible history. So it's kind of the latter part of the Old Testament. We're looking now at the stories of Daniel. We're looking at the stories of the breakup of the Kingdom of Israel, when you have the Northern Kingdom, the Southern Kingdom. We're looking at the stories, and there's a few of them we haven't filmed yet, which would be the stories of Esther in Persia. And
So the 3B is not quite done yet.
It's half out and half has not been out yet. Just because of issues of getting to some of the countries. Yeah.
So what was your favorite part of
favorite place I visited for that would have been Tel Dan in Israel. It's in the very northernmost part of Israel, modern day Israel today, overlooking the border of Lebanon, I think. And that's where they had a replica sanctuary. So you can go up there, and that's where the children are. Oh, we don't have to travel to Jerusalem. Let's make our own temple here. And you can see the footprint. You can see the holy place. You can see the most holy place. And you can see the altar of sacrifice. It's still there. The footprint of it is. And that's fascinating because you read about that in the Bible. And then that's an authentic site of the rival temple, so to speak, that God didn't approve of. But
that's right.
They thought,
you know,
they were
being smart.
One thing
that I think so interesting for people that, you know, aren't very Bible literate, you're helping them to learn what's in the Bible.
Yeah, we're trying to share the key themes and stories and take them on a journey. Yeah.
Well, folks, we didn't get through the whole season 3, and we'll have to pick up 3C after the break. But stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The Bible and God's character are under attack like never before. Here at Strong Tower Radio, we are proud to hold up the Bible as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We believe the Bible is the Word of God and contains the good news of God's character and His great plan of salvation for mankind. If you know and believe this to be true, won't you help Strong Tower Radio proclaim the truth about our God and His Word, the Bible? To do that, go to www.strongtowerradio.org, and there, on our secure website, you will find a donate button. Click on that and give as the Lord directs. Thank you for listening and supporting Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
Hi, folks. I'm Jalene Fenner, and welcome back to Strong Tower Radio today with my co-host,
Tom Majeur.
And this is a special program about people with a purpose. Who we have here is Pastor Adam Ramdam, who has done the lineage journey that we air. And just so you know, sometimes you might be hearing these programs, and he talks about something that's visual because they really are DVDs. But I love that program. I love history, and I'm learning so much more about the Bible, about history in general, because of what Adam has done.
And the thing is it has a beautiful audio track, and And when they're doing some the panoramic, it's beautiful music, and it's a great interlude until you speak again and share more. We're in the third season of this, and we need to talk about C. So, Pastor Ramden, tell us about...
We talked about A and B.
So the third part of season three is The Life of Jesus. We called it From Manger to Messiah. And it's out online. The DVD is not out yet. It's out online. And that covers the life of Jesus from his birth in Bethlehem all the way through to his ascension. And just last Friday, actually, like a few days ago, is when we released the final episode. So it's very freshly out and completed.
So they have to go online to see it, right?
Go online to lineagejourney.com or the YouTube page of Lineage Journey, and they can find the videos there.
Now, is there going to be a season four?
There will be, yeah. There will be. And the season four is actually going to be probably based on one of the books that one of our team members wrote. Uh-huh. We're going to take the content of that book and make it into a mini fourth series, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Well, go ahead, Tom.
Let's, listeners, you're going to have to check out, we didn't talk about the 3C. Adam, tell us what's the highlights of, you told us the subject, but what was your favorite part of 3C?
3C, so Manger to Messiah, my first part would, I think my favorite part of Manger to Messiah, the life of Jesus, would be anything that's filmed around the Sea of Galilee.
Okay, why?
I don't want to call myself a skeptic, because I'm definitely not, because I travel to all these places, but when you go to Israel, you can be a bit...
It's been touristized.
Yeah, some of the
sites... actually, the Roman Church was trying to do something.
So in Jerusalem itself...
Some of it is fabricated.
Some. Like, the Pool of Bethesda is a solid historical fact. Like, they kind of know that's the Pool of Bethesda. The Garden of Gethsemane, at the foot of the Mount of Olives, well, there's three of them. There's an Orthodox one, there's a Catholic one, and there's another one as well. So which one is accurate? Well, it was probably all of them. Really, you know? The Mount of Olives, we know, is the Mount of Olives.
But it hasn't moved.
It hasn't moved. But the walls of Jerusalem have been destroyed and rebuilt, I think, 36 times. So you take some of those exact sites that the tour guides take you to with...
grain of salt.
We know it was in this area. The Garden Tomb, I think, is pretty historically accurate, where they believe Jesus was buried. But the Lake of Galilee, I like that because Jesus did 70% of his ministry there. Mm-hmm. He actually wasn't in Jerusalem as much. 70% of his ministry and most of his miracles were around the Lake of Galilee. And you can't move a lake. like that location is proper. It's very authentic and it's very peaceful. So you go away from the hustle and bustle of the city and all the people packed in, and you're up there by the Lake of Galilee, and you look out, beautiful scenery, beautiful surroundings, and you can just imagine. I think your mind is able to imagine a lot more of the Bible stories there, like when Jesus was on the water, or when he was looking over the water, when he was feeding the 5,000, and when Jesus would just go apart. The Bible says he would go apart a while and pray and rest. And I imagine he probably did it around the Lake of Galilee somewhere on one of those hills and just had some peaceful time. So to me, it was a very peaceful place, a very beautiful place, and it's a place of a lot of meaning because Jesus did most of his ministry there.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Okay, so you did allude to some books. So let's talk about what else is Lineage Journey doing.
So we've made a couple of books as well because we have people on our team that have a variety of talents. Like, we have some people that like writing, so they wrote a couple of books. We have some people on our team who are illustrators. One of our guys works as an illustrator in his spare time, and so he just mocks up these drawings while he's sitting on the subway on his way to work in London and comes up with them in like 15 minutes. He's got a great illustration on his iPad. So we've got a couple of coloring books that are what we like to call educational coloring books.
We actually have them in front of us, and it's tell us about these books for our listeners.
Yeah, so we've got two of them. We've got one for season one. I don't have that one with me today. And we've got one for season two. So one of them covers the Reformation. One of them covers early Advent. So each page in the book has got a 200-300 word blurb that explains that episode of history. There's a little quote. There's some fun facts. And there's a QR code so you can scan that and go to the video, and then there's the illustration that people can color in. It's not just designed for children, but in this day and age, I think adult coloring books are a thing as well. So
they are. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But that's the thing about this. When I was looking at it, it's not just coloring a page.
No,
it's a little story.
It's educational.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's educational. So that's been out for a couple of years, and then the two recent ones we've got this book called. It's actually I got to be careful. It's not our book. It was written by one of our team members, and it was published by a publishing company in Australia called Sign. So it's not. It's not our book per se, but one of our team members did write it. It's called Sisters in Arms, and it's a fascinating book. It's one of those books that I picked up and read, in about a day or 2 days at the most, because it's written very interesting style. It's written in each chapter is written in the first person, so the author is kind of assuming the character of the person as she writes the story. But it takes the stories of eight key women of the Reformation. Oftentimes, when we think of the Reformation, we think of Martin Luther. Or John Calvin, John Knox, and so on.
Always men.
It's always men. And
there's a reason for that. Explain that. The reason I'm aware of that is because I caught an interview you had with the author. What's her name?
Suki is what we shorten it to. She's from Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka, okay.
She's from Sri Lanka.
Literally, your interview, it's an hour long audio, and... I think you can find it on.
It's on our YouTube page and also our podcast wherever they're released.
It was very, very revealing, and you cover about half of the people, the women in this particular book. But back to my original question: why don't we hear about more women of the Reformation?
Well, their place in society wasn't the same as it was today. They didn't have equality that they do today. So. Most of the Reformation came from academics. It came from theologians, and women didn't have the same access to education or to learning or to, you know, sit in those institutions that the men did. And so that's why...
It's a patriarchal system.
It was. It was different. But these stories are interesting because the first one in the book is the story of Katharina von Bora, who was Martin Luther's wife.
Very, very colorful. These were dynamic women.
Yeah, and I think, well, pre that time, there was no such thing as monks didn't get married.
Yeah.
So there's no married monks. So he's a monk who gets married, and then she's a nun who gets married. It's like a scandal. You can't get any... I mean, this is a scandal. She escapes from a nunnery and then gets married to a nut, to a monk who's not supposed to get married. Like
this is just wrong in every single way.
They just broke all cultural...
Norms.
And religious norms. Yeah. And it's fascinating. He escaped her from the nunnery as well.
That's right.
In the fish barrel on the back of a cart.
But the interesting thing about that is, in this interview, it was said that they established the prototype, what was a minister's family to be like.
Because she was the first pastor's wife.
Because everything else, Catholics didn't have any wives, officially.
So they kind of set the tone for what I mean, obviously not set the tone. Well, yeah, they did in a sense, and then obviously things grew from there. But she was the first modern, the last 500 years pastor's wife, and she helped him in his ministry and, you know, was a good wife to him.
So the book is called Sisters in Arms.
Sisters in Arms, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a saying, behind every good man's a good woman.
There is. And that's interesting. Katharina von Bora is maybe more well-known. I like the second to last chapter, I think it is, Catherine Parr. I'm probably going to share a little bit on her
at Camden
this year. But I like her story because she was the last wife of Henry VIII. He wasn't a nice man to be married to.
It was like, kind of dangerous.
Well, how many wives did he have?
He had six. Yeah. What does it say? Divorce, beheaded, died. Divorce, beheaded, survived. So, you know, it wasn't. If you were a young lady and he, you caught his eye, that wasn't a good situation to be in because he would then kill his current wife or get rid of her and then marry you. And
how long would you be his
wife?
Yeah.
So anyway, she's like 27 or 25, and he's in his 50s by then.
This is not exactly...
It's not romance. But she marries him, but if you can imagine being in a situation where you haven't chosen or wanted to be there, but she makes the best of it because she has two stepchildren. She has three stepchildren. One of them's Mary, who would go on to be the Catholic Queen of England. One of them's Elizabeth, who would go on to rule England for about 50 years. And one of them was Edward. Mary's too old at that point. Mary's like just about 4 years younger than her as her stepchild. So there's no way she can kind of convince Mary out of her Catholicism. but she pours herself into Elizabeth and Edward. And we don't really know that. Like, how did Elizabeth I end up being such a strong Protestant queen? Because she had a strong Protestant stepmother.
Oh, interesting.
Who married to Henry VIII, probably is not very happily married or wants to be married, but you know what they're saying, you know, if life gives you lemons, make lemonade. And, you know, she kind of was stuck in a bad situation, but she made the best of it for her legacy, in a sense, and really, through those 50 years of Edward and then Elizabeth, changed the trajectory of the whole country.
So previous to that, England was largely Catholic?
Previous to that, England was Catholic for the last few hundred years, several hundred years. And then King Henry VIII comes along. He wants to get divorced. The Pope won't give him a divorce, so he starts his own church. So even though he starts his own church called the Church of England, but he still basically was Catholic in his beliefs. He still left a huge sum of money for purgatory when he died and so on. But logistically and politically, he did make the break from Rome. But then Elizabeth and Edward would later on infuse much more Protestant theology into the church that the father had kind of broke away.
So if people are interested in this book, where do they get it?
They can get them on the website. These are all on our website, okay. lineagejourney.com, and you can book order them there, and they'll ship out.
Yeah. Right, and then you have another book here.
This is the latest one, hot off the press, like just a few months ago we finished printing it. Excuse me.
That indicates it's a real book.
It's a hardback, so it's not soft, and it's got loads of our pictures in it that we've taken on site, on location. It's got illustrations. It's got 48, I think, chapters. Each chapter has study questions at the end. It's kind of designed either to be a reflective book that you read or a book that you could read as a family for worship and then have the discussion questions at the end, or you could use it in a small group discussion. And maybe if you've got a group of people that get gathered around your houses and you just read through the chapter. And each question has questions about the person, but they also have Bible principles and text in the questions as well. And then there's a QR code at the end of each chapter that will take you to the video that matches to the chapter. So it's kind of a interactive, educational experience. So it's pictures, it's text, questions.
They don't need the video. For the book.
No, the book is separate, but
right, but they kind of go together.
They do. Okay. They do.
And then I have a question on the back. There's a picture. Where is that picture from?
Oh, it's a lovely picture, isn't it?
Yeah, that's statues.
That's Clive, who's our cameraman and videographer. That's standing in Geneva.
Oh, okay.
That's at what's called the Reformation Wall in Geneva.
And explain what is here.
So Geneva in the 1500s was kind of like the Protestant version of Rome. In the sense it was a bastion of Protestantism. And a lot of reformers would go there for refuge. John Calvin is the second from the left. There's four statues, there's four, whatever you want to call it. And they are four key prominent figures of the Reformation. And then
in America we have out there in Mount Rushmore out there.
It's not as big as Mount Rushmore.
but I mean, these four... people.
Like four pillars, kind of.
And then further on the wall, they've got different. There's actually more engravings than this. There's more as you go further.
Well, because when it comes to the Reformation, I mean, there might be the pillars, but there's more.
Yeah, there is. There is. These were the four key ones in Geneva itself.
Okay.
So yeah.
Well, it's an interesting picture. That's why I wondered where it was.
Okay.
At.
You know, and I'm looking at this book. You have so many resources, and this is the first time I've seen the book. Like you say, it's just fresh off the... this book has never been opened. I opened here. It cracked the...
you cracked the spine.
Cracked the spine there. But it's interesting, as I look at this, each story is like four or five pages long.
It's not that long, yeah.
So, you know, in our sound bite, everything has to be quick and short. It's quick and short, but it has the visual... And then it has the questions, the text, the questions, and then you have the QR code. And we've said QR code, QR code. But this is what we're working with. Mm-hmm. It's additional resources, and then it gives you your multimedia sensory experience. So quick and succinct, but gets the message across.
Yep.
So we're going to be running out of time, folks, but this has been a very interesting...
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure. And thank you for showing Lineage Journey. Thank you for airing it the audio version on Strong
Tower
Radio.
If we could show it, we would too.
Well, and the thing is, you're very welcome, but it's we serve each other. Mm-hmm. When we're doing the gospel, no one is an island.
Mm-hmm. That's correct, yeah.
And you've produced content, and we're giving you the audience, or you're creating your own audience in, mm-hmm. in multiple places. But we want you to take an opportunity, as we do with all of our guests, and tell about your ministry, what you hope, and how listeners can be helpful to your ministry.
Well, especially if somebody wants to contact you, you know, talk to you, mm-hmm. you know, we need to tell them how they can do that.
Sure. The best way to contact us would be probably through email, and that would be our main email for contact would be info@lineagejourney.com.
Okay.
So info@lineagejourney.com, and that's where we get most, well, inquiries, or if anyone has any questions about anything, they can contact us there. Also on our website, there is a contact us page which comes to that email address. So you could just go to the website, lineagejourney.com, click on contact, get in touch, and then...
How can people support Lineage Journey?
If people are interested in doing support in that sense, financial support, they can just go to our website, lineagejourney.com/give, and there's four ways that people can give. They can either give through the website. There's a tax-deductible way to give. If they're American listeners, they can give in a way where they get a tax-deductible receipt. And then there's also a way where they can sign up to be a monthly donor as well. So all of that's on the website at lineagejourney.com/give. And we're really appreciative of those who supported us and enable this ministry to keep going. And I think that, in a sense, does encourage us, because we have creative ideas of what we could do. And then when we do get the support, it just kind of lets us know, well, yeah, this is the Lord speaking to us to say keep on going and keep producing and keep sharing.
So this is the summer of 2022. You have some things like in the works mm-hmm. that you've not done, but what is something you'd like to do that maybe get more support and you can do?
Yeah, the next one we're probably going to do is on this book here, The Women of the Reformation, but that's in a sense easier because it's in Europe and I'm based in Europe, so it's not so hard. But we would like to do a series probably after that that's going to cover three things. We're going to follow the story of Christian missionaries in various continents around the world. Then we're going to follow the birth of modern missions there. And then also we'd like to film a series on what did Christianity look like in these places before the missionaries got there.
Oh, interesting.
Before and after?
Yeah. Because, for example, you've got places like in Ethiopia where they kept the Sabbath for the last 2,000 years. So there was a strong Christian biblical presence there before modern missionaries got there. So unearthing some of those stories, or, for example, in Asia, that the word for eight in Chinese, I think, is the characters is something to do with Noah's Ark. Mm. So you've got this influence of biblical stories seeped into the language, so there's obviously this Christian influence. So we'd like to unearth some of those modern Christian missionaries and also how our church started as well.
Well, Jelaine, this is going to be a continued story.
Yes.
So we'll see where the Lord takes us, and I am sure that this will become a classic Strong Tower Radio, part of Reformation Month annually.
Thank you
for joining us today, Adam. Bye, folks.
Bye.